This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey guys, it's Murph, your Dungeon Master. I'm going to be running the game for the podcast and for my players, Emily, Jake, and Caldwell. But first, I want to real quick plug our projects. Emily and I wrote a satirical relationship advice book called Hey You Up, How to Turn Your Booty Call into Your Emergency Contact. It's out now and you can get it on Amazon. Check out Caldwell on youtube.com/drawfee, as well as on his podcast, What Should We Draw with Nathan Yaffe. And of course, listen to If I Were You with Jake and Amir. There you go. Plug's over. Let's get into it. Let's get into the backstory for this campaign, because it wouldn't be Dungeons and Dragons without me dumping a bunch of lore onto you up top. So without further ado, I welcome you to the realm of Bahumia. A few years ago, an evil necromancer attempted to conquer the realm in the name of Asmodeus, ruler of the Nine Hells, but he met his match against three legendary heroes: Theala, the human cleric, Ulfgar, the dwarf fighter, and Alanis, the elf wizard. After a valiant campaign, the heroes amassed a great army and defeated the necromancer on the battlefield, then traveled to the Nine Hells and destroyed Asmodeus himself. The realm rejoiced, for a little while. Then everything started sucking ass again. The three heroes did everything you're supposed to do in a D&D campaign. They convinced the isolationist high elves to join the war, they restored a rightful heir to his throne, and they toppled the Dark Kingdom, but those actions all have consequences. The high elves are now on the verge of extinction, the rightful king is a terrible politician, and the orcs without a homeland have split off into nomadic clans and caused more trouble than they did before. This is a morally gray, post-war world that still has its share of problems, many of them caused by the very heroes that quote unquote saved it. To make matters worse, Theala, Ulfgar, and Alanis have gone into hiding and haven't been seen in over a year. Now, my players are going to try to clean up their mess. Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast. Let's meet our party.
Hard One Surefoot, the bastard of the mountain, a human fighter raised by dwarves. Thick of calf and quad, 6'6" of muscle and beard, the great axe of Iron Deep, pride of the dwarfenage. Having dug further into Iron Deep than any man or dwarf before him, Hard One believes his next great adventure lies above ground and has set off to see the world.
Beverly Togold, pure-hearted halfling youth from the city of Galateron, a five-leaf green teen novice paladin in pursuit of the ultimate merit patches. Beverly has never disobeyed his mom and is an extremely good boy.
Moonshine Sabin, crick elf druid, lover of fungus and ambassador of decay. Her people were ostracized by the high elves to the dank shores of the Crick, but now something's amiss at the old Crick. Accompanied by her loyal possum, Pawpaw Gump, freckled, ferocious, and dangerously fertile.
Welcome to the first episode of the podcast, everyone. I'm your Dungeon Master, Ryan Murphy, joined by Jay Kerwitz, Caldwell Tanner, Emily Axford. Guys, we're doing it.
Let's get cracking.
Jake, your first D&D session ever, and it's being recorded.
I'm so excited. I'm just like, this is not a podcast to me. I'm just here for the journey, man.
I'm here for the roles.
Yeah. Also, Jake Hurwitz is not on this podcast. It's Hard One Short.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's
fully
true.
In character.
Emily Axford is dead. She's 6 feet under.
So let me tell you guys a little bit about this place that you guys are going, and then you guys can tell the audience why your character is going to this village.
Ooh.
So you guys are going to
the fishing village of Moonstone. So the village of Moonstone was founded 50 years ago by an old halfling druid named Thistle. She was a hermit who placed a powerful magic trident at the bottom of the bay, which lured in all sorts of aquatic creatures from the sea and made for easy fishing. So soon the bay started to attract other settlers, and Moonstone grew from Thistle's singular little hut to a bustling village. But just as it was growing and establishing trade with nearby settlements, an evil dragon named Shadowfang took residence in an old abandoned keep in the swamp to the north of the village and began terrorizing them. So Shadowfang would send her henchmen, the lowly dragon-worshipping kobolds, to like collect gifts and taxes from the villagers under the threat of violence. Then that all changed 2 years ago when the legendary party of three heroes arrived in Moonstone, killed Shadowfang, freed the village from the grip of the dragon, and inadvertently left them open to a whole new slew of problems.
Can I ask a real quick question?
Please.
Where is Shadowfang's bot now?
You don't know.
Really?
You know that he's dead. Yeah. His bone, like, you.
I want to find his skeleton and animate it.
Yeah, dude.
He or she?
She. Sorry.
She. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's a girl dragon.
It's a lady dragon.
Yeah,
a lady
bitch.
How do you tell?
Queen, bow down.
How do you tell a lady dragon from a male dragon?
She has a big
huge
pussy
tits.
Instead of a big dick.
Huge dragon pussy.
Just a huge dragon pussy.
Just yeah, fire comes out of it also. That's how you know she's ready.
The fire queen.
A male dragon has enormous human-like testicles,
right?
And a
swinging,
giant, thick penis.
Mm-hmm. It's so like she didn't have. That you don't
she didn't have
see
one
in Lord
of those.
The Rings,
right?
Yeah. They're always sitting on gold, so
this
you can't
is,
see.
That's right.
The
they're
truth.
Always fucking
yeah.
their gold.
Yeah,
that Tolkien won't tell you. Is that dragons have dicks and pussies?
Really, I just want to tell you know like those the movie where you just like see the shadow of the dragon flying.
Yeah,
I just have a flapping
dick waving, waving in the air.
And it's just you first. It's like slowly comes in. You see the flapping wings, and then behind it, a flapping dick.
God, I would love to see just somebody recutting this.
I think on
adding
the journey,
dicks on dragons would be really fun.
On the journey to Moonstone, Beverly's reading a book about dragons. Because he's probably interested in like the lore of Shadowfang.
Yeah.
And he's like copying, he's like underlining that passage.
Ooh, what
it's
is...
funny, as I was prepping for this, I was worried, I was like, they're going to ask stupid questions like how do dragons breed or something.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to need something. And I'm like, you know what? No, it'll be safe. But no, now dragons have dicks and pussies,
yeah,
okay?
That's
you
right.
fucking stump me, they have dicks.
Can I just go back to Beverly highlighting his copy? Mm-hmm. Can we just assume that you're using some kind of like berry to highlight?
Oh, that's cool.
Like, there's some kind of berry that you're just squeezing to highlight.
Absolutely. It's
got
like
a bushel of highlighter berries.
It's like a lightning bug.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've got like a quill with like lightning bug ink.
So, guys, Moonshine, why are you going to Moonstone?
So, as I've mentioned, I come from the Crick. Something's amiss at the Crick. But there's another thing, too, which is that...
Something's
amiss at the Crick. But I also am... So, basically, like, just real quick background on the Crick Elves. They are a maternal society. There is one Meemaw who gives birth to all the youngins. I am one of... and Moonshine has a lot of pressure to become the next Meemaw because she's so fertile, but she's not ready to make youngins. She wants to spread spores. So I'm kind of like using the fact that there's something amiss at the Crick as like a reason to go out and adventure and not have to just be a youngin maker.
Right.
Right.
And why is Beverly going to Moonstone?
Beverly's going to Moonstone to meet up with the rest of his troop because there is a green teen jamboree.
A green teen jamboreen, weirdly,
green
is what it's called.
Jamboree.
That's what the flyer said. That's
oh, my God. All... Moonshine's going to see that flyer and be like, uh-huh. Oh, jamboree. Oh,
boy, jamboreen.
All right.
I love that Hard One and Moonshine are both going there to, like, satisfy their wanderlust.
Right.
And Caldwell's character just has a Boy Scout meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, like, literally on a field trip.
It's a big meetup.
Well, no. Really, he's the only one who actually has a reason to be there. Everyone else is just like, they're walking around, and they went to this town.
Yeah, I believe my parents were a little concerned about me going to Moonstone because it's, you know, gotten a little less safe over the years. But my scoutmaster, who I'm meeting there, helped convince them that it would be fine because, you know, like, there's going to be a lot of adults present. There's going to be a lot of chaperones. And at the jamboree, I'm going to be working to earn a lot of the last patches that I need for my 60s.
They're going to be so
quick
question. Proud of you.
Quick question.
Yes. Yes.
Are there girls that are going to be at the Jamboree, or is this just sort of like an all
there
boy
are,
dance?
There are girls in the I think in there, the green teams.
Yeah, I think it's
there
a
are.
Yeah.
Oh, there are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pushed for it, and you know,
it's
awesome. there were some more kind of homophobic sexist halflings that didn't want to let them in,
right.
But they kind of got ousted.
I mean, yeah, Green Teens is still a super religious organization.
Yeah,
but they are gender neutral.
Their Cub Scouts are still called the Boy Pals, even right. though there are Girl Pals in there.
Uh-huh.
So Hard One, why are you going to Moonstone?
Hard One left the mountain thinking that he was going to walk into any town and be well received, like with a parade, and instantly found out that nobody knew who he was, and all the hotels were full.
Sort of a jacked Jesus, if
yeah.
you will.
He went in assuming he'd have a free room somewhere, and they're like, you need a reservation. We're full. You don't have enough money.
Many factors.
So he didn't know what to do, and now he's wandered off the road. He's thinking he might try to look for a fishing job in this village.
Oh, okay.
Try to earn a little dough.
Wow. Ooh. Earn a little scratch.
Has yeah. he ever fished before, or is he
no.
just...
But Hard One is, I can do anything.
Yeah, I bet you, I think for you, fishing probably means like diving under the water and just grabbing a fish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely what it means for, Moonshine.
Right.
For Moonshine, you make a little trap in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fish.
It's a mud fish.
The
wait,
fish
fishing
swimming.
For the.
Yeah, well, so
mud,
at the bottom
the
of.
Mud? Oh, like in the bottom.
Yeah, at the
oh,
bottom okay. of the creek. There's
yeah.
a lot of mud.
Oh,
you make
right.
a little trap.
Sorry.
Fish swims into it.
I forgot
it.
That they were fishing in the creek.
What you do is you get a milk jug. You tie a fishing line
well,
to
maybe
it.
Well, maybe there are not a lot of fish in the creek anymore. Something's
right.
amiss at the
creek. That
something's
is true. There are not
the
nearly
creek.
As many fish
some
as there
some
should be.
Right.
Hey.
Some ain't right in these here woods.
And the fish that are there, they're swimming the wrong way.
I'm picturing that scene from Lord of the Rings where Legolas says blood has been spilled this night, but he just goes, something ain't right.
Something ain't right in the creek. All right, guys, let's get into it.
Nice.
And the skeeters. The skeeters have taken over the creek.
Oh, they're big ones, too.
Exterior Moonstone night. I'm just kidding. I didn't actually write that.
I was
kind of
ready.
Epic, right?
I shut the. I shut the
I've
fuck
never,
up.
I've never
like,
heard
yes,
it.
Shut the fuck
daddy.
Up and yeah. perked up.
Yes, daddy storyteller.
Yeah. Okay, so a man in a hooded cloak makes his way in a Moonstone after traveling many miles off the main roads to the east. He had no trouble finding it even at night. The glowing waters of the Enchanted Bay light up the entire village with a white-blue glow like snow reflecting moonlight. A dirt path leads him past simple stone houses with thatched roofs, many of them covered in moss with purple and yellow and white flowers. It smells fresh, like a spring rain, which is not something that one might expect of a fishing village, but clearly the influence of the druids is strong here. He heads for the only building in the city that appears to have any life at this hour, the Hungry Trout Inn and Tavern. He enters to the sounds of an old bard playing a jaunty tune on the fiddle. Caldwell, can you give me a little fiddle sound? All right, there's a fireplace on the far... All right, Caldwell, cut.
More fiddle, Caldwell.
Oh, that is
and Emily, a washboard.
Yeah. Oh, that should be my instrument.
You can
know
have
how
a
I
washboard.
Have...
Write that down in your inventory.
Okay, I was going to play, because as an Outlander, I get a musical instrument. I was going to play a blade of grass. But can I have Murph? Can
better.
I have a washboard and a blade of grass?
You can have a washboard and a blade of grass shirt.
Where are you going to find a blade of grass?
So this cloaked man enters the tavern to the sounds of an old bard playing a jaunty tune on the fiddle. There's a
No!
I should have never asked for this. Okay, so there's a fireplace on the far right side of the room, and lanterns with candles fill the tavern with a warm glow. Closest to him is a group of three fishermen sitting at a table, drinking ale, and sharing a quiet conversation. Across the room near the fire is a group of four barbarians, drunk and rowdy. Sitting at the bar is a single, young 20-something halfling boy, sitting by himself, nervously sipping his drink. The bartender is an older half-orc woman, sturdy and serious. She bears a horrible burn scar across the entire left side of her body. The man, the traveler, the bastard of the mountain, takes off his hood and removes his goggles of the night.
Wait.
The strong-jawed, pensive face of Hard One Shorefoot surveys the scene.
I don't like this. It makes it seem like he's the main character.
That's fine. Quiet fiddle player.
What do you do?
I guess I'm standing there drinking in the beautiful sounds of the fiddle.
Homeless, by the way,
Jay's,
right?
Jay's first move. Jay's first move playing D&D is drinking in the sounds of a fiddle.
I think you're gonna be pretty good at this.
I let the fiddle wash over me.
Iron One, just standing at the doorway, just like kind of tapping his toes and just like listening to the fiddle.
Someone's standing behind
heard
you.
Music
being,
before.
Someone's standing behind you, being like, "Sorry, can I just? You're standing in the doorway."
Your shoulders are so broad.
You're just like a huge man.
I can't get around
right
you.
In the doorway.
If you could please just step aside.
I'm gonna go over to this half orc woman.
Okay.
And order the biggest beer that they have.
You see, as you walk in, you order the biggest beer they have. This old orc half orc woman just looks at you with disdain and goes, "We have one size. I'll just go get you an ale."
Then I'll have two.
Classic. She nods, and you see her go back, and she fills up two ales, puts it down. You throw her a few copper. You see the little halfling guy sitting next to you sees that you get two ales, and he turns to you, and he says,
"Oh, hey, man. What brings you to town? You seem right strong."
Is this Beverly?
No.
It's not Beverly?
You don't know who Beverly is.
Of course. I'm looking for work around these parts. You know where I could get a fishing boat?
Well, I'm actually a scoutmaster. I'm not a fisherman here.
You see, he's like really fucking nervous. He's really super nervous. And he goes,
"Are you like, by any chance, any kind of like hero or anything?"
"Yes, you have heard of me, haven't you? Finally, I'm Hard One Shorefoot, pride of the Dwarfenage, the bastard of the mountain."
And which mountain would that be, sir?
Forget it.
Okay, well, I'm not the chapter leader or anything. I'm just a scoutmaster, okay? So I'm a scoutmaster.
Okay.
I'm part of this group called the Green Teens, right? So I'm responsible for, like, some of the younger guys and stuff, some of the, like, you know, like, 14 or 15-year-old halflings or something. I teach them how to, like, build fires and I give them patches and things like that. So anyway, we came to town. And there were supposed to be some like druids here that were supposed to show us the bay, and they were supposed to show us like the like staff that's at the bottom that's like magic that makes the fish come. But then the druid said that they were busy, so I said, "Okay, well I'll just take the kids out by myself." So I took the kids out, and then some frog men came out, and they took the kids. The green teens are gone.
I did notice that you didn't have kids as you're telling me this story about how you're in charge of the kids.
Yeah,
and there aren't any here.
There are no kids.
Right.
So I actually already paid. So my parents have a decent amount of money, so they give me some money to come with.
Money.
And I gave those gentlemen over there 20 gold. And he
points to the barbarians, these like big fucking hulking rowdy dudes who are bald and have just like ponytails popping out.
Oh, that's a good
and
look.
And you see, there's four dudes there. One of them sort of bigger than the other ones. You see him like let out this hearty laugh, and he's missing a bunch of teeth.
Okay.
He's like this fucked up dude. So you see this scoutmaster guy. He says, "I offered them 20 gold, and they said they were going to go to the swamp and get the teens back from the frogman. But they're just sitting there. And anytime I ask them if they're going to go, they just yell at me and say that they're getting ready and that they need to get hydrated.
I see.
So I need someone serious for this job."
Yeah. So they're using your gold to buy their beer.
Correct,
right now.
Correct. That is very much correct. My name's Denny, by the way.
Hey.
And he holds out to shake.
Hard One, Surefoot. God, your hands are clammy.
Yeah,
Yes, I'm just a little bit nervous. Okay, so as you're shaking this dude's hand and drinking your two beers like a fucking weirdo.
I should have got one at a time. This one's already warm.
Suddenly, you hear hooves outside as like a little carriage pulls up, and you hear a teen voice saying goodbye to the person in the carriage. And Beverly Togold, the small halfling boy, also wearing a green teen uniform with braces, enters the tavern. you can see your scoutmaster guy mm-hmm. up at the bar, and you see these barbarians, and you see these fishermen, and you see right. the bard.
I've met this scoutmaster before.
Yes, you've okay, met cool. Scoutmaster Denny.
All right. I probably just run right over to him.
Okay.
I just beeline. I kind of like put blinders on and don't look at anything else. I don't make eye contact with anyone, and I just beeline right for my scoutmaster.
So Beverly makes a beeline for Scoutmaster Denny and Hardone. Hardone, you've already marched in, made yourself known, and you're already just surrounded by fucking dorks. So you see Scoutmaster Denny sees you right away, and he looks super nervous
Denny!
And ashamed. Hey, little guy.
It's me. It's Beverly.
Beverly, so good to see you again.
Remember,
hey.
You taught me ropes.
Yes. Green Teens is canceled.
What? Wait, no. What do you mean?
It's canceled.
He lost all the kids.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is, he also taught me my humor badge, so this is like, clearly one of his classics.
Just
this
a
is
classic a, green teen goof.
Yeah, this is a green teen goof. We do these little goofs around campfires, and this is one of them, I'm sure of it.
I don't think so. He wouldn't have, he told me.
I don't know, but, like, look at his face. His face is so, he's twisted his face into a mask
you
of
see,
humor.
You see, he's just furiously shaking his head at Hardone, like, please, don't sell me out.
I feel like Beverly sits on the other side, so away from Hardone, but adjacent to Denny.
Okay.
And then he, still not believing that this is actually true, tries to get the attention of the half-orc bartender.
Okay.
Excuse me, ma'am?
What? Yeah, what?
Hi, do you have Sprite?
No, we don't have Sprite.
Okay, just anything fizzy would be great. Non-alcoholic, please.
She just like pours you a
a beer.
She just pours you like a cup of water, okay. And then just like sticks her finger in and moves it around and blows some bubbles in it, and then just hands it to you.
Mm. Savory. Thank you. Savory. I tip her very well.
Excellent. Okay, okay, you throw her some copper and a couple extra silver.
Okay.
Suddenly, a possum bursts into the tavern and jumps up on the table with all the fishermen and starts just like grabbing at their scraps and everything.
Papa,
a beautiful woman, a beautiful elven woman covered in fungus wearing, are you wearing overalls?
Overalls, yeah.
Overalls.
And there's mushrooms pouring out of the bib of my overall.
She Papa. Rushes in after the possum, grabbing him.
Papa, I'm so sorry. He must have smelled your food. Papa, get! Get, you're gonna get kicked!
You see Papa climbs back up onto this Crick Elf's shoulder.
I'm so sorry. If I can just... What table did we go on?
The fishermen. The three fishermen sitting there.
I'm so sorry, y'all. You know what? Give me whatever you caught today. I'll go back in the kitchen. I'll whip you up some delicious, some delicious fish. I'm a great cook.
You see one of the guys just looks at you and he says...
I'm sorry, do you work here? You're just going to go in the kitchen and cook something?
You know, I found that it's just easy to make friends. If you're just a sweetheart, you can just walk back anywhere.
You hear the half-orc woman back from behind the bar just yells, if you're going to bring a rodent in here, you can at least buy a drink.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll definitely have a drink. I go over and I'm like, yeah, give me, how about like a hooch or like a bathtub mead, or if you got some berries that gone bad, I can just suck on those.
She just pours you an ale and just hands it to you.
I turn Ooh, to okay. Diddy and say, is that our guide?
No, I'm your guy.
No, for the tour.
Oh, for the druids, right.
Yeah.
No, that's canceled. That is fully canceled.
Okay, this joke is going on a long time. Can you like wrap it up? What's the punchline of the joke, Danny? Scoutmaster Danny?
Okay, you know what? This is a learning experience,
uh-huh.
is what this is. Because as halflings of the light,
yes.
as campers of the light, we need to be honest. We should always be honest. And so I will tell you, young Beverly,
yes.
that I lost the green teens. They were captured by frogmen and dragged into the swamp.
I told you.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, excuse me, Miss Half-Orc. What's your name?
My name is Mishka.
Mishka, that's a beautiful name. God bless your mother. Do you have a saucer of crick water from a possum?
I have some water in my canteen.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
That'd be great, because Pawpaw, he is parched.
Okay.
Hard one. You are just surrounded by fucking Pawpaw. Rejects right now.
This is not what I expected from my epic journey.
I do give her some water from my canteen.
Great.
I hand her my canteen.
Thank you so. Okay.
And then as soon
Pawpaw
as Pawpaw
starts furiously lapping it up, like getting a mess everywhere.
Like,
Hard one. You
I'm
are just like covered
it.
In water.
I hold the canteen under my armpit, so it looks like he's suckling from my breast.
Huh? You know what? You can just keep that canteen. Actually, thank you. So wait. Anyway, you're serious? You're speaking in the light of truth about this matter, Danny?
I'm dead. Seriously, speaking in the light of truth. The,
oh my God.
The green teens are gone.
They're gone? What are we going to do?
Well, that's not all. He was also robbed.
Yes.
Tell the whole truth. Right?
Okay. Okay, so these fine gentlemen behind us, and then you hear the bigger dude yells out, "Hey, get us another round!" And Danny turns around and says, "Well, surely the 20 gold I paid you before will be plenty for another... I said we want another round!" Yes, sir. You see, he orders another round from Mishka and like a waiter, like picks them all up and carries them over and puts them down. And then he comes back and he turns to
God,
Beverly,
man, that's
and
your
says,
leader?
"Yes, I was robbed.
Scoutmaster, those men are taking advantage of you. We can't let that happen. That's unjust."
Okay. Here's the thing, though, is that there's a lot of them in town and they also... chased out the mayor, and they're living in the mayor's house, so things are really freaking bad here, man.
Okay.
Nobody told me this when I got here. I just wanted to show some green teens the freaking trident at the bottom of the bay.
Does this mean that the jamboreen is canceled, too?
The jamboreen is super canceled, Beverly. I can't express properly how much of the jamboreen is canceled.
Jeez. Oh,
jamboreen?
Yeah.
I love a good jamboreen.
Who doesn't?
Okay,
that's
wait.
When everyone takes their shoes off and rolls around
no
in the mud.
No one's focused on the missing children.
Right, yes. Okay, so there are missing children.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
I don't
you
know
what?
What's going on.
Okay, so, Beverly, you want to be a six-leaf green teen, right?
More than anything.
Okay, if you go get the green teens back, this is your test. This is your test. If you do it, you're a junior green knight.
I knew this moment would come. You know, that this is why they keep the six-leaf trials under such tight scrutiny.
Yeah.
So that you can't guess what you're going to have to do for
just
your final test.
All part of the plan.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
Okay, so all I have to do is get the gold back from those ruffians over there.
Nope. Don't talk to them. Don't get the gold back from them. That's just a loss. Let's just chalk that one up
okay.
to a loss.
All right. Okay.
That gold is gone.
That gold is gone,
that's
man.
That's your gold by right.
Cool. Yeah, that's gold. You. There's like kids. The kids are deaf. They're gonna. I don't know if you know anything about bullywugs, the frog man, but they're gonna ritualistically sacrifice them.
Well,
I'm so sorry. Pawpaw drank too quickly and he spit up on the floor. Do you have a rag behind the bar that I could just
he spit
clean up
all
his...
over my foot?
Scoutmaster, you yourself taught me. Careful where you stomp. Bullywugs hide in the swamp. So that's probably where we should start.
Yep. Yeah, you guys should...
Oh, bullywugs.
Okay,
we got them down by the creek.
You know about bullywugs?
Of course.
I do, too. I have a bullywug identification patch that I got.
Oh, okay.
Beverly once picked a bullywug out of a lineup and got a patch.
Well, I dissected it. I dissected it.
Okay.
I used to wrestle with them, so down at the creek. You know, it's a fun little thing. You just kind of wrestle a bullywog.
They're very aggressive. You must be strong.
Yeah, I'm I'm pretty strong.
Wow.
Well, if you're strong, maybe, Beverly, can you turn around for a split second?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, great. So Beverly just turns around, staring there.
Smiling.
Yeah.
I sing a, okay, I can't fire a song.
Beverly, earmuffs, and sing to yourself. Sing along with the fiddle.
A green teen never holds a grudge. A green teen will never budge from
okay,
this point.
So, justice. So you guys got to make sure that this kid doesn't die, but he's actually pretty strong, okay? He's going to be a good green knight, so he'll be pretty helpful to you guys. But you guys, I can offer you guys some gold. If you guys keep an eye on this guy and go get the other green teens back, I'll give you guys 20 gold each.
What if instead of gold, you just gave me some sort of, I don't know, I'm personally, I've got a sort of like a mushroom library, spore library, collecting many strains as I can. If you could just pay me a mushroom.
I just have, I have like gift bags for the Boy Scouts. I could just Ooh. Give you some like mushrooms.
I'll take the gold.
Okay, yeah, I'll just give you 40 gold then.
Okay, Dope. So I'm just going to write down green teen gift bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here you go. I was supposed to give this to the kids at the end of the night, but... It looks like I won't be needing them.
Are kids like youngins?
If you see a dragon, you take a wide berth. We do all we can for Mother Earth. Hi.
Okay.
Is everything good now?
Beverly, everything's great.
Okay, cool.
These fine green teen, the green teen team.
These are
your real counselors.
Oh, so these are like honorary scoutmasters?
They're honorary scoutmasters. I deemed them myself.
Oh,
here
wow.
you go. And you see he rips off two patches. So this dude is just so scared and in over his head. He just rips off two patches and just like shoves them on your guys' chests.
Ooh, wow. Okay. I hawk up a loogie and use it to stick the patch to my overalls.
Oh, and it Ma'am, weirdly
your possum
sticks.
Is, shitting under the bar.
It weirdly sticks.
Pawpaw, what did I tell you about going bucket in public?
Don't worry.
The possum's going nuts. You see Mishka, the half-orc, just like fucking sweeps him away, and he gets knocked on the ground, and he just starts like scrambling on the ground.
Papa, I'm going to put you on your leash.
And Mishka,
he's a wild just, animal.
Mishka just turns. Close. Mishka just turns to you and says, "Please leave."
Okay, that's
leave
a
with
fair request. We got some bullywogs to go wrestle, anyways.
Before we leave, I take a notepad. Out of my satchel, or out of my pack, and I write, "You are very rude," and I go and I place it on the table of the barbarians.
As you go to place it on the table of the barbarians, they're in the middle of this like rowdy laugh. The guy picks up the note and then he grabs you and he says, and he laughs again. He goes, "I like you. You're funny."
I do have my humor patch. Yes.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
You go get us another round of ale and I won't kill you.
Okay, well, I'm not of age, so I don't think I could technically do that. Would you like some Sprite?
I take out a flask and I say, "Y'all ever had bathtub mead?
Would that be good? My scoutmaster has some bathtub mead if you want that."
Listen, kid, I'm gonna fucking kill you if you don't go get me an ale right now.
Okay, could an adult please get this to me?
Okay, but hear
Beverly
me out.
Beverly turns to Hard.
Christ.
Hear me out, Mr. Barbarian. If you've never had bathtub mead, what we do is we take a bit of a raccoon urine. We ferment it under the moonlight for about 3 months. And it will get you fucked up.
Please don't curse.
You see, go ahead and give me a diplomacy check.
Oh, man, first roll.
9 plus, what do I add to diplomacy? Charisma?
Yeah.
I got 11.
Okay.
Mixed success.
You see, he says,
"It'll get you fucked up."
Yeah. Oh, you'll be seeing your ancestors.
There's no need to curse.
All right. Tell you what. You give me that fucked up water. You go get me some ale, and then I won't kill this little one.
Okay.
I don't feel like this is very hospitable. Is this your town? We're coming into your town, and you're showing us a real mean cheek.
I feel like while she's doing that, I do go over to Hard One and give him some coin to buy the ale.
I'm not buying these guys. Fucking beer, man.
Beverly, and, right. Beverly and Hardwon are just having a quiet moment. And you see Scoutmaster Denny turns around from the bar and he's just like, huh? What are you guys doing?
Do you think we should get the wine instead?
No.
And
okay.
I'm teaching the barbarians that you don't actually drink the bathtub mead. You huff it like a paint. So I'm showing them how to huff it.
You see, like, a couple of them are actually pretty interested and are, like, huffing it. But you see Scoutmaster Danny runs over with some more ales. He's just like, no need to go after the little guy, gentlemen. Everybody's drinking on me tonight. And this big barbarian dude goes, no, I want him to do it. And he points to Hardwon.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content, all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Mint Mobile. It's spring cleaning. We're getting rid of the things that don't serve us anymore, and you know what doesn't serve anyone? Expensive phone bills. If you'd like to declutter your finances, it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/pawpaw. That's mintmobile.com/pawpaw. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PAWPAW. $45 upfront payment minimum required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hardwon. Holding two beers. Comes over.
Uh-huh.
And pours them both at this guy's feet.
Oh my God.
You just like pour it on this dude's feet. You see the other three guys that are with this main dude like,
oh fuck.
Look fuck like, oh shit, something's about to go down.
I pull a small towel out of my backpack and hand it to him. For your boots.
This dude fucking backhands Beverly. Everybody roll initiative.
The possum starts freaking out.
Sir, I have no choice but to defend myself now.
I got, hell yeah, bitch, I got a 22.
What do we add to our... Oh, wait, no.
Your dex.
Your dex. Okay, so 0 for me. 11. Jake got a 16. Yeah.
Oh, man, these guys rolled really well.
Oh, boy.
16, wait, 16 add dex?
Yeah.
20.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Hardwon. Okay. Hardwon.
I got 22.
Oh, wow. You guys rolled well.
Well, they did.
Yes.
Everybody did.
2 out of 3.
Okay. Moonshine. Got it.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
Moonshine, you're first. So you see this dude backhands Beverly.
Okay. So I'm.
Does that,
which of them, by the way, are they affected at all because they've been huffing my...
That's a good question.
They've been huffing
yeah,
my...
Yeah, two of them are a little stoned.
Okay, good.
Not the main guy, but two of them are a little... There's like one pretty serious guy who like clearly looks up to the leader guy, and there's two guys that were just kind of looking to get fucked up at the bar.
Okay, so I'm going to go for the main guy.
Okay, cool.
Great.
I'm going to take out my scimitar.
Great.
Oh, actually, no. I'm going to do symbiotic entity.
Great.
What?
Which means that I channel the power of spores and mushrooms and become one with my spores.
For anyone who plays D&D at home listening to this insane thing that Emily is saying, this is a Circle of Spores druid. It's an Unearth Arcana thing that was just introduced. So you're turning into a mushroom woman right now.
I'm basically turning into like almost like kind of like poison ivy.
You're starting with your limit break.
Yeah.
I love it.
And does that take that takes like a wild shape action? Does wild shape take an entire turn?
Yes, that takes an action.
So I just kind of stand in the corner and like and like rub mushrooms on myself.
Hard One is very confused.
I have to imagine the barbarians that were huffing that sauce are also very confused.
The barbarians that were huffing the sauce looks at this woman that just starts sprouting mushrooms and they are tripping balls.
What was in that? Must be the raccoon purse.
So then that's you, Hard One. Although, wait, do you get to, on your turn, do your shooting spores thing?
Oh, yeah, I can, because that's a reaction, so that wouldn't take a whole action.
Yeah, so you get to launch your spores if you want.
Okay, so then, but because I'm in symbiotic entity mode, that would mean that they deal double damage.
Great, so go ahead and roll your damage.
I think Halo is just three.
Use your reaction on your turn to deal 3 poison damage to one creature
within
10 feet of you.
6 damage. So 6 poison damage at the main dude.
6 poison damage.
So
at the main
dude. I rub mushrooms on myself, and then from my hand, like a mushroom is born, and I blow it at him like I'm blowing a kiss.
Like this crazy fucking mushroom woman blows spores in this dude's eyes. He just goes, ah! He's so fucking pissed off. Hard One, you're up.
I'm punching the serious dude right in the nose.
You're not going axe, you're going fist?
Oh shit, I can. It's coming to death blows now already?
These guys are definitely going to try to kill you. All right. See, they're like going for their swords.
Fucking great axe from behind.
Go ahead, roll your
Hard
d20
one wields
to see if you
it one-handed.
Give it.
12 plus 4, 16.
That hits. Yeah. Roll your damage. It's a d12 plus whatever your modifier is.
Armor, right?
Oh yeah, you gotta roll damage now.
Yeah,
how do I do
damage,
that,
baby? You roll d12. Yeah, that one.
That d12.
10. Ooh, baby!
Ten plus four.
So 14.
14.
So fucking this dude gets like blinded by spores, and then Hard One just like slashes him across the chest with his axe, and he just lets out this roar. He's so fucking angry. What was it, 14 damage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this dude is still standing. He's a pretty tough dude.
All right.
Four total barbarians. Okay, yes. One like real tough looking dude, and then three guys that are like a little bit scrawnier, and two of them are super stoned. So I'll give them disadvantage when they attack.
Nice.
Okay. So this main guy is going to go ahead and rear up with his great axe. He's going to take a reckless attack, so he makes it with advantage against Hard One. So he swings his axe right back at Hard One. And he is definitely going to hit.
Oh, no.
So he hits Hard One. He slashes Hard One across his mighty shoulder for 12 damage. So go ahead and mark down that damage.
Wait, does he not have to roll AC?
He did.
Oh, okay. I missed it.
Yeah, he beat it.
My bad.
Okay.
Edit that.
So wait, now...
So 12, is that's like minus from my...
That's minus from your maximum hit points. So what are your maximum hit points? Like 22?
22.
Okay, so you're at 10. Okay, so now these warrior guys are going to go. The first, the sober guy, is going to take a swing at Moonshine.
Bring on, bitch. I'm a symbiotic entity. I got plus 3 to my hit points.
And he misses big time. He whiffs with his, he has a spear on him.
Oh my God.
He swings his spear and misses.
The mushrooms come to my aid.
Yeah, it just gets caught by a mushroom. Like it's a fucking hand.
It's like one of those big flat ones you see on trees.
Yeah. So these other two tribal guys who are a little stoned are also going to swing at this fucking mushroom monster that they see. This guy whiffs big time, and the other guy, he would have hit. Oh, he's going to hit.
All right.
So even though he's stoned, he's just screaming and swinging at anything. And he's going to go ahead and hit Moonshine for 8 damage.
Ooh.
Terrible hospitality. Not how I would treat people coming to my town.
Now it is Beverly's turn.
All right. So I think Beverly probably flew all the way back and landed behind the bar. And he's kind of like gathering himself amidst bottles and barrels. And he picks up a bottle and says, "Hey, you did have Sprite." That's okay, though. I think now Beverly turns to Denny and says, "Scoutmaster, sir, permission to defend myself."
"Yep, kill them. Please kill them.
And hurry."
"Thank you, sir." So I'm going to unsheath my sword.
Great.
And I want to, I guess I'll just attack the main guy as well. Okay. I don't want to do anything
fancy. Are you
going to
do any kind of like smite damage or anything like that?
You know what? Let's start this thing off with a bang. Yeah, I will cast,
smite his ass, dude.
Do you want to, you have like a special ability that just does like 2d8 damage, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to use that.
Okay. Can also do it. You can also see if you hit and then try to do divine smite.
Yes, that's what I'm going to do.
So go ahead, take a swing.
Right. So just roll d20.
Roll d20.
Here we go. That's a 19. What do I add to that?
Oh, dude, you fucking hit.
Okay, nice. Yeah. All right, cool.
So go ahead and roll 2d8s plus your normal damage.
D8s. Wait.
So Beverly, after like this polite little boy gets like pushed over and like falls behind the bar, asks for permission, and then like yells out to his god, Pelor, the god of light, and this burst of radiant energy comes out as he slashes this dude so hard.
Is this the D8?
It should have 8 sides on it.
All right.
That's okay. How you know.
Roll that twice and then roll your damage.
All right, so that's a 2.
Cool.
And a 7, so that's 9. And then
another D8?
Another D8.
Yeah, because that's just your normal longsword damage.
So that's a 3.
So 12. Mm-hmm. So 17 damage.
Then plus 5, right?
I added that.
Okay, cool.
Damn, 17 damage.
Yeah.
So this guy's starting little to look guy. A little
Moonshine.
Fucked up.
Moonshine turns around and she's like, "What?"
This burst of radiant energy comes out of Beverly's long sword as he slashes the guy again across the chest, and he grabs his chest, and you see like a little bit of blood dribbles
That's
out of his mouth.
That's what you get for being rude.
Scoutmaster.
The blood falls on the "you guys were rude" piece of paper.
Scoutmaster Denny meekly walks over to Hard One, and he's going to lay on hands him because he's a paladin, and you're back up to full health. He heals
Appreciate
you.
Nice. Oh, that,
sweet,
brother.
Good.
Really needed it.
Good.
Scoutmaster Denny lay hands you for 12. Then let's bring it back up to Moonshine.
Okay. Now I'm going to make a melee attack with my scimitar, which is covered in fungus, at that main bad guy.
Cool.
Actually, fuck it. I'm going to go after it. No, we should get rid of that main bad guy.
Yeah.
Okay. After the main bad guy.
They might break after that, you know?
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to hit. That's going to be a 7.
That does not hit.
Okay, well, I'm still going to...
You can still shoot your spores.
Halo spores. Blow it like a kiss.
Blow it like a kiss.
Blow like a kiss, and I wink at him after I do it.
Oh, you're a nightmare.
Six more poison damage.
Six more poison damage.
And then I'm going to use a bonus action to heal myself with Healing Word.
Great. So what is that, a D4?
Nice.
D4?
D4 plus 5. Six. I got 6 back.
How do bonus actions work?
Bonus action you can take after your action.
Okay.
So you probably don't have many things that you can do.
It'll say bonus
it'll
action.
Say.
It, yeah, it'll say.
Nice. All right, cool.
Okay, that takes us to Hard One.
Dude. All right, let's do it.
Just slashing at all this guy.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
That's what you do.
Axe coming back around, going right out of his chest again.
Ooh. 16.
Dope. 16. That definitely hits.
Yeah, 20.
Yeah, whatever your modifier, it hits. It hits already. Roll that d12, baby.
Roll that beautiful dice.
Ooh.
7 plus...
Plus 4? 4 or 5?
11 damage. Damn. Okay, this dude's looking seriously fucked up.
He's not done yet.
No, he's a fucking tough guy.
Bev, you gotta take him out.
All right. Okay, here we go.
Bev, it's
okay,
up
so
to
that
you.
Takes us. That takes us to this
only
dude.
You can save us, Beverly.
That's a lot of pressure.
You are our only hope.
Oh shit! This dude took a reckless attack, so this guy should be at disadvantage.
Ah.
So go ahead and roll again, Moonshine, to see if you hit because you missed on your first attack.
15.
That's definitely going to hit, so roll your damage.
Woo! And that's going to be damage plus poison damage, so that's going to be 5 plus 2 is 7 plus 5, so 12.
Wait. Damn.
Oh, no. Yes, 12.
Okay, this dude is seriously, seriously, seriously fucked up. On his last legs.
So she had taken him for 12 plus 6.
Right, okay.
Damn, he's strong.
This
dude
is seriously fucked up. With his last inch of life, he tries to take off Hard One's head.
The guy that started it all.
He is going to hit.
Oh, no.
Yes,
oh,
the man whose pride got us into this fight.
The pride of the mountain.
The pride of the mountain. The mountain 9 damage. Toppled. 9 damage to the pride of the mountain.
All right.
You can handle that.
I've survived worse. just one moment ago.
The other guys are going to keep swinging at Moonshine here.
All right.
The one guy is probably going to hit. That is a 17 to hit.
Yeah,
that definitely hits
definitely
your AC.
Hit.
Okay. That's going to be 5 damage. Damage on the first one.
Moonshine takes it, but she doesn't even blink when it happens.
That's cool.
Just looks at him like a...
She doesn't even blink.
Yeah. Wow.
She just she looks at her hand full of mushrooms, and she's like, you next.
The other
one's like about to cry from his wound, and then he looks at her like, oh, yeah, fine.
Do the mushrooms have like little humanistic characteristics? Do they have little faces on them?
I mean, I see faces when I look at them. But I also eat them.
Hi,
so.
Moonshine! Where are your babies?
So these other, the two stone guys are going to take swings at Moonshine.
Mm-hmm.
He rolled a 1 and a 19. He's at disadvantage. He'll take the 1, so he misses. The other guy rolls, and he's going to hit, even though he's at disadvantage. And he hits you for 7 damage.
Beverly is unscathed.
How are you doing, Moonshine?
By the way.
Moonshine's at 11.
Okay.
Because she got extra hit points for the being
right.
A symbiotic
okay.
Uh-huh. Entity.
So wait, you're
didn't
at 11?
Get hit
and
by the first guy?
Healed herself.
Okay.
I'm at 13.
You have like 25 health?
No, sorry. What did you hit me for? I thought you hit me for 5 this time.
And I hit you for 5 the first time, and I hit you for 7 the second time.
Oh,
so 12
I didn't hear
total.
The 7.
So you're at 3.
Oh, okay.
You're at 3?
7.
So Moonshine.
No, I'm at 4. Thank you.
You're at 4. Okay. Moonshine looks right fucked up.
Okay, okay.
Oh, back up to.
Beverly.
Is it me?
It's actually, yes, Beverly.
All right, cool. I have to kill myself.
I was planning on attacking the main guy, but now that I see that Moonshine...
No, I look at you and I'm like, don't worry about me.
Yeah, I feel like I go to like lay hands on her, and then you say, what do you say?
I say, don't worry, this hand's taken care of.
I lay hands on myself.
Yes, ma'am. I full disclosure, full honesty, in the light of truth, I did not want to touch you. All right, so then I turn away from Moonshine, and I turn to face the main barbarian, and I say, sir, I've given you every chance to back down, but unfortunately, as a green teen, I cannot let your reign of terror on this village to proceed.
Hit him with the sword.
I will now recite the green teen's creed.
Kill him. For the love of God.
I hold my sword aloft. It glows ever so slightly. And I say, a teen of green is never mean. Our souls sublime, our hearts pristine. And at all times, we stay serene to glean the sheen of a light unseen. All
right, kid. I was being nice. You got to do something. You don't need to lay hands on me, but.
And after that, I just kind of like recklessly launch myself at him with my sword drawn. All right.
Go ahead. Roll with advantage because he took a reckless attack.
All right, cool. That's an 18.
That's going to hit already.
All right.
Well,
cool.
Roll to see if you
can roll to see if you crit if you want to roll again.
Okay. Oh, good
see
call.
If you get a 20.
It's another 18.
Okay, dope.
All right,
you guys
cool.
Got some good rolls so far.
Yeah. All right.
D8. Don't jinx us.
That's a 3 plus 5, I guess.
8. Okay. Yeah. All right, so cool. You see, after reciting the green teen creed,
uh-huh.
Beverly launches forward and decapitates this dude.
Oh.
Blood sprays fucking everywhere as his head flies over the bar.
Gotta be
you
honest.
You see the other dudes look like mad scared.
That little spring chicken's got some talents.
Back up to, that's actually Scoutmaster Denny, who is going to, he'll cast Cure Wounds on Moonshine.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, well, he rolled pretty well. 10. 10
Ooh.
HP back. That takes us to Moonshine.
Moonshine looks at him and is like, thank you. Don't come too close, so I'm very fertile. I'm very fertile.
Too fertile.
Be careful when you lay hands on me.
What does that mean?
And then
not allowed to have sex. It's okay.
And then she looks at one of the guys who hit her.
Yep.
or the guy that she said, you next.
Okay.
And then she takes out her scimitar, aims it at him for 22.
That hits.
All right. So that's going to be...
So roll your scimitar damage, and then it does poison damage too, right?
It's going to be only 3 for the scimitar damage, only 4 for the with the poison damage, total of 4. But then she's going to blow her kiss of poison.
Okay.
Shroom kiss.
Her shroom kiss.
For 6 damage?
Yeah, so this 10 total.
This dude is on fucking death's door. These guys are much weaker than
yeah,
the
bitch.
Hard one, you're up.
Hell yeah. I'm swinging the axe at this dude's dome.
At the dude who's weak?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hard one's calling
I want him to decapitate somebody, too.
Hard one feels, like, inferior.
Axe to dome.
That's a 6, though.
Plus what?
But you add...
4, 10.
No,
10.
It's a... Right? Oh, 10 total?
I don't know.
It's not plus 4. You have a higher thing than that.
What do you add to your attack roll?
You add your attack bonus.
Okay.
Oh, attack bonus?
Your attack bonus is plus 6.
Oh.
So you got a 12.
Oh, so you got a 12. Yeah.
So that does hit.
Oh, damn right.
So roll your damage.
Yeah.
8, that's plus 4.
Ah.
Yeah.
12?
Yeah, 12.
Okay, 12 damage. So Hard One then decapitates this dude. The head doesn't go quite as far as Beverly's head.
Hard One looks ashamed.
Moonshine turns to the party and she's like, will you save the last one for me? Because now I feel like I gotta decapitate someone.
I feel like that's
Hard
probably...
One just takes a step back.
I only need to decapitate one head to get my self-defense merit badge, so I'm good.
You're furiously sewing a decapitated head badge onto your...
So you see these other two barbarians kind of look at each other super scared, and they're going to disengage, mm-hmm. and they're going to start running out of the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, these people were real inhospitable. What do you say we chase them?
Oh, shit.
So are you guys, like, chasing him out the door?
I'll chase him out the
door. I think
they're definitely going to run back to... They're definitely going to run back to a crew of barbarians, so we need to...
We got to find the kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we've been tasked with the mission.
They're just outside the tavern. Are you guys chasing them out the tavern? You don't see if there are more.
Here's the only thought is if they run back to their barbarian friends, we could be in bad standing by the time that we come
back.
That's
true. We kind of got to silence these guys.
Yeah,
we got to kill these guys before they tell all the barbarians about us.
Okay, so you guys run out and chase them just outside of the tavern. I'm going to roll to see if there's any other barbarians out there.
Oh.
I rolled a 1. There are definitely no barbarians. That's such a good rule for the barbarians.
Yeah.
So, Moonshine, you're up.
That's going to be 16.
That hits.
And 6 plus 7. 7 to hit total.
Great.
And then another 4. 6.
Another 6. Wow, you kill this dude. She fucking slashed this, spit some fucking poison spores at him, and his head just explodes as it rapidly grows mushrooms.
Oh, shit. Even though he's dead, so his head explodes? God damn it, I wanted to decapitate him.
No, you can decapitate him if you want. You tell me how you want to kill him.
Well, I want to kill him with the spores, but then I'm going to decapitate his lifeless body just so I can be
God.
Part of the
This woman is just fucking hacking him up.
As I'm doing... I think that's technically... I look up and I'm like, hey, we got a club going.
Hard One almost throws up.
Okay, that takes us to...
I take no pride in this.
These are not the friends I wanted to make.
Hard One, go ahead. Wait, Beverly, have you gone? We may have skipped you. The last thing you did was behead somebody?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I beheaded someone since him.
You beheaded someone since him. So it should have been your turn. Right. Go ahead.
We've all beheaded someone.
So are they still trying to run?
They're trying to get away.
Are they waylaid by the fact that we've started attacking them?
Are they slowed? They're just turning and fucking running. The one dude's dead. Okay. The other dude's just booking it.
We got one more. We
got to
make sure we silence
them.
Let me check with you if I could do this.
Sure.
While they were attacking the other person, I try to run ahead and set up a rope trap.
No.
Okay.
You cannot run ahead of him. This is not fucking Home Alone.
I don't know. I'm pretty resourceful.
You can try to trip him or something.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be able to tackle him, but like... What I'm going to try and do is I'm going to try and use my shield to kind of like shield tackle him. To the ground.
Okay, go ahead and run and just give me a strength check.
Okay.
Just give me an opposed strength check. You're going to try to grapple him.
Okay, great. Is that going to be...
So athletics or strength?
My strength is plus five.
Okay. Plus athletics,
five? Yeah.
Oh, that's a saving throw. Those are your saving throws you're proficient in. Your strength is just whatever your modifier is.
Oh, it's plus three. Okay.
So just give me a plus three, unless you have athletics. Then you can use
It's a 16 plus three? 19?
Oh, my God. 19. Fucking Beverly tackles this dude, like form perfect tackle.
Palor!
Takes this dude down. This dude is just on the ground. Hard one, you're up.
Wait. Go decapitate him. Go decapitate him.
No.
Nice and slow stride walkover.
I will say I probably do try to stop him from decapitating yet another human.
Okay. So you're trying.
Hard one. No, we've. Three is probably good.
Excuse me?
I just think
I raised the great axe.
Maybe.
Hard one's just slashing.
That's a 10 plus 14?
Yeah, I mean, he's at disadvantage and everything. You definitely hit him.
All right, I guess he is my scoutmaster. I have to respect him now.
Yeah, and that's an 11.
All right.
So,
yes, sir.
Beverly inadvertently helps execute this man. Beverly's like holding this dude down. Hard one just comes over and in one big chop just beheads this man.
I was thinking
as his head rolls off.
I'd like to. Yeah, I mostly didn't hear what you were saying.
Sir,
you know,
just,
I'm not a. I wouldn't. You're my buddy. But
normally,
I killed that
guy. I'm in favor of just jail, I guess.
Yeah.
As a method of dealing with conflict. But...
So as you guys are talking, uh-huh. and as this dude's like head rolls down the road,
yeah.
you see Mishka, the half-orc, pokes her head out of the tavern. She says, "Bring the bodies inside. More will come soon."
Ooh, shit.
Okay.
Mishka's
okay,
cool.
Y'all. Yeah, so we drag the bodies inside.
You guys drag the body in. You see that the fishermen are helping fucking clean up and like hide the bodies. You see, Mishka has already gotten rid of...
Now that is hospitality.
There you go.
They carry the bodies.
No, that's what I was looking for.
I carry the heads.
Beverly carries the heads in as you guys and
Mishka,
the other people in this tavern.
Mishka, do you have sort of like a pile of trash anywhere? I want to give them a good crick elf burial.
We're not going to give them a burial. We're just going to hide them for now, okay?
Okay.
They help you guys get rid of the bodies. You see there's like fishermen fucking scrubbing the blood. And you see everyone kind of stands in the middle of the tavern. Mishka closes the door and she looks at you guys and she says,
"Well, you might be just the guests we needed in this town."
And that's where we'll end our session.
Dope, dude.
It's so funny. I didn't know if you guys were going to get into a fight with those barbarians, but you definitely beheaded all of them.
I wanted to get in a fight with them so bad, but I knew that I was like, no, I'm too much of a sweetheart too, so I was so pumped.
Alan Hard was just,
he doesn't suffer any slight.
I will not buy them a drink.
Because once I become a symbiotic entity, aka like poisonous woman of spores,
right.
then I'm no longer a sweetheart.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I get to act like a savage. Yeah.
It's also funny
guys
that
were
this
assholes.
All...
Like, you offered them water. You offered them your bathtub, like your
crick. I gave them my,
crick
my
juice.
Is my bathtub mead? Yeah.
And it all started because Beverly gave them a note.
Those heads are on your job.
Yeah, those heads are on. A note. Which I folded so they would open after I left, but, you know.
Yeah, you folded it into a little swan.
Exactly. It was a nice little origami swan. While we're back inside, I do start writing a note to my parents telling them about my new friends that I've made.
And me,
I've
got...
Your new scoutmaster who told you to chop somebody's head off.
And me, I'm trying to pick some of the knots out of Pawpaw's hair.
Oh my God. There's so many knots. It's so,
so
knotted.
Knotted.
Okay, guys. Guys, please rate the podcast. It's a new podcast.
Subscribe
we could
to
really
it.
Use it. Subscribe to it, baby.
Yeah,
5 stars.
Let's
not another D&D podcast.
This one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pretty much rate, subscribe.
Real...
Like, yeah, do that, but like, talk to people.
Yeah.
We're
tell
trying
people
to do like a
it.
Grassroots thing
That's
here.
Get on the subreddit. They've already made a subreddit. Not another D&D podcast.
Oh, really?
I'm R that, baby. Check it out.
Dope.
Follow us on Twitter at Jay Kerwitz, at Caldy, at Eaxford, at CH Murph. Guys, February 13th, Emily and I have a book coming out. It's called Hey You Up,
too.
How to Turn Your Booty Call into Your Emergency Contact.
Yeah.
It's a satirical relationship advice book. Check it out.
I gotta think there's some overlap between people who love D&D and people who love satirical relationship
right.
advice.
They like us. That's
right?
That's part
that's
of it.
That's the full overlap.
Anybody else got any plugs? Listen to If I Were You with Jay Kerwitz.
That's my
You're
podcast.
On that podcast.
Yeah. Watch Drawfee.
Yeah, watch Droffy. Droffy's great.
You're allowed.
Heck, man.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much.
Watch The Fall on Netflix. Gillian Anderson's amazing.
Yeah, just
on
a
that.
Recommendation. Just check out Gillian Anderson's
she
The Fall.
She just looks so good swimming.
Uh-huh. Oh, shit. I will do that.
Oh, and listen to 8-Bit Book Club with me, Caldwell, and Emily.
But not until after you've seen every episode of The Fall.
That is correct, yes. You need to be caught up on
really
The Fall
do.
To get all the references. Because
you there
Emily does bring up The Fall a lot.
Every yeah.
single week.
Okay, guys, so we'll pick up here next week with our intrepid heroes and all of the
wait.
People in this town as they've just murdered a bunch of
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that I'm getting back in that kitchen and whipping us up some good jambalaya.
Ooh.
Some of that good jambalaya.
Some of that
There's
good
blood
jambalaya.
Everywhere.
All right. Jamboreen jambalaya.
Bahamut, keep you all, and may the Baba Yaga not take you this night.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.